Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on Nafil, Father Sultani Rahmatullah Ali writes, Or agar char rakat ki niyat bandi, if a person commences salah, he makes niyat on to read 4 rakat Nafil, or 2 rakat par chuki, and a person already read 2 rakat, tisri ya choti mein niyat tor di, but in the 3rd or 4th rakat, he broke his namaz. So he made niyat of 4 rakat, and 2 rakats are done. Now in the 3rd or 4th rakat, a person broke his namaz. So agar dusri rakat par baith kar, isne attahiyat waghaira pari, to faqat 2 rakat ki qaza pare. So if this person, after 2 rakat, he sat down, and he read attahiyat. So he made niyat of 4 rakat, he read 2 rakat, he sat like normal, he made attahiyat. And then he started with the 3rd or 4th rakat, and then he broke his namaz. Then qaza will only be made of 2 rakat. Only of the remaining two, because the first 2 rakat is done. So the remaining 2 rakat you have to make qaza of. Or agar dusri rakat par nahi baithi, person doesn't sit on the 2nd rakat, or attahiyat pare baghair bhule se khari ho gayi, and this person without reading attahiyat, person stood up for the 3rd rakat, ya qasdan khari ho gayi, or intentionally a person he left out the attahiyat and he stood up for the 3rd rakat. So, puri charo rakato ki qaza pare. Then in this case, a person must make qaza of all 4 rakat. So, it all depends whether a person sat for attahiyat. If after 2 rakat he sat for attahiyat, then he'll only have to make qaza of the remaining 2. And if he didn't sit for attahiyat, then all 4 rakat, a person has to make qaza. Zohar ki char rakat sunnat ki niyat, agar tu jawe, to puri char rakate phir se pare. Chahe 2 rakat par bait ke attahiyat par hi ho, ya na par hi ho. A person was reading the 4 sunnahs of Zohar and a person had to break the namaz for some reason. So here we won't look at the 2 rakat, that did he finish the first 2 rakat and sit for tahiyyat or not. Here a person will make qaza of all 4 rakat. So in the sunnah salah, a person, he won't have to make qaza of just 2 rakat or the first 2 or depending on the second 2, but all 4 rakat a person will have to make qaza of. Nafil namaz baith kar parna bhi durust hai. It is also correct that a person, he sits down and he reads the nafil namaz. Lekin baith kar parne se aadha sawab milta hai. But if a person sits and he reads his nafil namaz, then a person will get half sawab. Isliye kare ho kar parna behtar hai. Therefore it is better that a person stands and he reads the nafil namaz also. But it is permissible to sit, only he'll get half sawab. Isme vitar ke baad ki nafle bhi a gayi. The 2 nafil that is after the witr salah. So normally you'll find everyone sitting and reading these 2 nafil namaz. So he said this is also included, you're going to get half sawab here. But in this is also the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's hope that because of sunnah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give much more reward. Albatta, bimari ki wajah khari na ho sake, to pura sawab milega. However, if a person is sick and because of illness, a person cannot stand. So a person sat and read his nafil namaz, then he's going to get full sawab because he's got a valid excuse. He cannot stand and read namaz, so he has to sit and read namaz. Or faraz namaz or sunnat, jab tak majboori na ho, baith kar parna durust nahi. The faraz namaz and the sunnat namaz, the sunnat muakkada, that as long as a person is not compelled, he's not forced, then it is not correct for him to sit and read the faraz and the sunnat namaz. Because qiyam is faraz in salah. So a person has to stand and read namaz. Agar nafil namaz ko baith kar shuru kiya, phir kuch baithe par kar khari ho gayi. A person, while sitting, started the nafil namaz. Then after maybe 1 rakat, a person decided that now I want to stand and complete the namaz. So yeh bhi durust hai. This is also correct. So you start when you are sitting. And then you stand up and you complete it, that's also fine. Nafil namaz khare ho kar shuru ki. A person started nafil namaz now standing, the opposite way around. The first masjid with it, he was sitting and then he stood up. So that's also fine. And the other way is a person started the nafil namaz while standing. Then a person, nafil namaz kare hokar shuru ki. Phir pehli hi rakat ya dusri rakat mein baith gayi. Then in the first or second rakat, a person now decided to sit down. So yeh durust hai. Then this is also correct. So both ways are correct. If a person, he started it standing and then he sat down, then that's also fine. And if a person started sitting and then he stood up, then also is fine. But in faraz namaz, there's different ruling. That if a person was sitting and he stood up, or a person was standing and he sat down, then what is the ruling? The ruling there differs. Here he's talking about just nafil. Nafil namaz kare kare pare. A person while standing read the nafil namaz.
لیکن ضعف کی وجہ سے تھک گئی. But because of weakness now, a person got tired, felt weak. So he started staring, but he felt weak. تو کسی لاتھی یا دیوار کی ٹیک لگا لینا اور اس کے سہارا سے کھڑا ہونا بھی درست ہے مگر مکروہ ہے, مکروہ نہیں. That if a person became weak, he started the nafil namaz standing, then he became weak, or person became tired. So now he takes the support of the wall or some stick, he takes the support and he reads the nafil namaz. So then also it is correct, it is not makruh. Why? Because this is nafil namaz. In faraz namaz, the ruling changes. Istikhara ki namaz ka bayan. This is the chapter on istikhara salah. Jab koi kaam karne ka irada kare, person wants to do some work, to Allah miyan se salah le lo. Then take advice from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Take guidance from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in regards to this work that you want to do. Is salah lene ko istikhara kehte hai. Now taking this guidance from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is what is referred to as istikhara. Hadith mein iski bohat targhib aayi hai. In the hadith, there is lot of encouragement that has been mentioned for istikhara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya hai, ki Allah ta'ala se salah na lena, aur istikhara na karna, badbakhti aur kam nasibi ki baat hai. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that not to take guidance from Allah ta'ala, not to make istikhara. He said, this is something that is a sign of unfortunate, of a person being unfortunate. Person being deprived of the bounties of Allah Ta'ala or the goodness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Kahi mangi kare, ya biya kare, if there's a proposal that has come from somewhere, or a person wants to get married, ya safar kare, or a person wants to undertake a journey, ya aur koi kaam kare, to be istikhara kiya na kare. Or any other work a person wants to do, don't do this work without istikhara. Take guidance from Allah Ta'ala and then do this work that you intend doing. تو انشاءاللہ کبھی اپنے کیے پر پشیمان نہ ہوگی. Then انشاءاللہ a person will not be regretful over the work that he has done. In other words, whatever work you want to do, you make istikhara and then do the work. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the way, he will do it correctly. He won't have regret later on in the work that he has done. Istikhara ki namaz ka tariqa yeh hai. This is the way of making istikhara. Ke pehle do rakat nafil namaz pare. First read two rakat nafil namaz. اس کے بعد خوب دل لگا کے یہ دعا پڑھے. Then a person with a lot of concentration, he must make this دعا. What is this دعا? اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه. وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم أرضني به. So this is a long dua, but it's found in all the kitabs of fiqh generally. So a person, he can take the dua from there and recite the dua if he wants to make istikhara. So he says, اور جب هذا الأمر پر پہنچے. Now in this dua we came across the words where Allah Ta'ala says, إن اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر, أن هذا الأمر, verily this matter, whatever the matter is, whether it is marriage or whether there's a proposal or person wants to make safar, he wants to travel, so whatever the matter, when you come to these words, هذا الأمر, that which means this matter that I'm making istikhara for, so when you come to these words, which will have a line normally in the kitab, جس لفظ پر لکیر بنی ہے, there's a line that is drawn on these words, تو اس کے پڑھتے وقت اسی کام کا دھیان کر لے. So when you read this now, then think of that work. If a person is wants to travel, so at that time think of your travel. Person wants to get married, think of getting married. جس کے لیے استخارہ کرنا چاہتی ہے, for which a person wants to make استخارہ. اس کے بعد پاک صاف بچھونے پر قبلہ کی طرف منہ کر کے با وضو سو جاوے. Thereafter a person, he should lie down on a clean mattress, on a clean bed, facing in the direction of the Qibla with wudu. So with wudu, a person now should face in the direction of Qibla, and on a clean bed, now a person should sleep away. So he read the two rakat namaz, he read this dua. When he came to the words, anna hadhal amra, then he thought about whatever work he has. After that now, on a clean bed, with wudu, face the Qibla and sleep away. Jab so kar uthe, اس وقت جو بات دل میں مضبوطی سے آوے وہی بہتر ہے. When a person now wakes up after sleeping, then whatever comes into the heart of a person, then that is what is best for him. اسی کو کرنا چاہیے. That is what he should do. For example, he made istikhara for marriage. So now when he went to sleep and he woke up, So in his heart it came that I must get married to this woman. So now that is his answer. Now he can get married to that woman because this is the answer that came in his heart. Whether must I undertake this journey or not? So when he woke up, then his heart said that no, you must undertake the journey. So now that is his answer. He must undertake the journey. So whatever comes in the heart. But to sleep is not a condition, it's not a requisite that a person has to sleep. For example, a person read the istikhara namaz. And after making istikhara namaz, now Allah Ta'ala put the thought in his heart. That for example, now you must undertake this journey. Or you must start this business. So when the thought came in his heart, he must start the business. So you must start now. Doesn't mean that you have to sleep and you must see a dream or you must the thought must come in your mind in the morning. No. If you read the istikhara after half an hour, Allah Ta'ala put it in your heart. That's your answer. Now you can go with that answer. Agar ek din mein kuch maloom na ho aur dil ka khaljan aur taraddud na jaave. In one day a person doesn't get an answer now. And the doubt that is in the heart of a person, the heart, this doubt is not removed. So a person didn't get his answer, he's still doubting. Must I start the business? Mustn't I start? So the first day, he's still not sure. Sometimes it happens, the first day a person is not sure. So he's not sure whether he must do it or he mustn't do it. So dusra din phir aisa hi kare. Then a person should do this on the second day. On the second day again make istikhara. Sometime on the second day, he's still not sure. He's still got doubt. Then make istikhara on the third day. So in this way, a person will carry on for a maximum period of 7 days. 7 days is the maximum. So within 7 days, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will open his heart and Allah Ta'ala will guide a person. Isi tarah, saat din tak kare. Like this 7 days, it should continue. Inshallah, zarur. Is kaam ki achchai burai malum ho jawegi, inshallah, through the blessings of this, that whether this work is good or bad, a person will be informed of. Agar hajj ke liye jana ho, to ye istikhara na kare. If a person wants to go for hajj, then a person shouldn't make istikhara. Must I go for hajj? Mustn't I go for hajj? Because hajj is fard. Became fard on a person, so he has to go. There's no istikhara for going for hajj. Balke you istikhara kare ke fula din jao ke na jao. But what a person should make istikhara, that should I go on a certain day, or shouldn't I go on a certain day? Which date must I go? That is what a person must make istikhara for. Not whether he must go for hajj or not go for hajj. Namaz is tawbah ka bayan. Just one masla in this chapter. That regarding the salah of tawbah, where a person he repents, he makes tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Agar koi baat khilaf shara ho jawe, if something contrary to sharia takes place, for example, a person he fell into some mistake, some error, he broke some command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so this is against sharia, some mistake he has made. To do rakat nafil par kar Allah ke samne khub gira kar isse tawbah kare. Then a person, he should read 2 rakats of namaz, and cry before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, lower himself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and a person should make tawbah to Allah in this way. Read 2 rakat namaz, and lower yourself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and make tawbah. It mentioned of many of our akabirin, they were such that when they used to make the tawbah, when they used to cry, then whatever tears used to even come out, they used to wipe it on their face, and then they used to rub it on their body. Because the fire of Jahannam won't touch that part of the body. So on this, Mullah Tanwi rahmatullahi, he mentioned a particular incident that comes to my mind right now. And Mullah Tanwi rahmatullahi said that once there was a young boy. So this boy, his father, he had it very good with all the ministers. He was very kind, very good to the ministers. Ministers used to come to his home, they used to eat. So he had a very good relationship with them. So after some time now, the father passed away. So when the father passed away, then the executors of the estate, they wanted to usurp the money of this child because he was still an orphan, still a very small boy. So they had control of all the money. So they wanted to steal the money that the father left behind for this child. So the ministers, because they were friends, they said, no, it's not going to happen. So they took this boy and they said, let's take him to the king of the time, Alamgir. Alamgir was the king at that time. So they said, let's take him to Alamgir. And tell Alamgir that he must take control of the estate because this is the condition of this boy now. So, of these executors, they want to usurp the money. So, nevertheless, they went to Alamgir. But on the way now, when they walking to Alamgir, so they started coaching the boy. They told him that if he asks you this, then this is the answer that you must give. And if he asks you this, then this is the answer you must give. So, they told him many, many things. If he asks you this question, then this is the answer. So, the boy was one ahead of them. So, before they came to Alamgir, so he asked them, he said, what if the king asked me another question? Other than what you told me now, then what must I do? So they said, this boy is smart enough. He is very smart. He'll be able to answer himself. Because if he could come up with such a question, that means he's smart. So nevertheless, they went to Alamgir. So when they went to Alamgir and to speak to him, then at that time he was in his pond, I think. He was taking his bath or whatever it might be. Or he was swimming. So he shook the hand of this young boy. He told the young boy, come, shake my hand. So the boy went to shake his hand. So when he went to shake his hand, then Alamgir told him, I'm going to drown you. Told the young boy, he was testing him. So he said, I'll drown you. I'll pull you in the water and I'm going to drown you. So the boy started laughing. He started laughing. So he said, this boy is foolish. He said, I can't even allow him to take care of his affairs. He says that because he's a foolish boy, I'm telling him that I'm going to drown him. And he is laughing. So the young boy told Alamgir, he said, but why don't you ask me why I'm laughing also? So he said, why are you laughing? So then the young boy said, you see, a king. The king is such that if you with the king and you got your hand in the hand of in your one finger in the hand of the king, then nobody will be able to harm you. Nobody will be able to harm you because you got your hand or your finger in the hand of the king. So he says that I got my finger in your hand, how can you ever harm me? So on this Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali says that a person when he cries, normally if the tears are a little bit, comes in the hadith, that you must cry, ibku, cry when you're making dua. Fa illam tabku fatabaku. And if you can't cry, then just make the shakal, that there's just that face, like a crying person. What we say is spaza crying. So even that is valuable in the court of Allah. So Mawlana Tanwir Rahmatullah Ali says that now when the tears come out, many of our kabirin, they used to rub it on their face, that the fire of Jahannam won't touch our face. So he says that if the fire of Jahannam won't touch on the face, then an objection comes about. There's a question that comes about here. What about the remainder of the body? It won't touch the face, but what about the remainder of the body? So from here, Mawlana Tanwir, look at the knowledge of Mawlana Tanwir. He answers from here. He says that young boy said, if my finger is in your hand, how can harm ever come to me? So he says, exactly, if Allah Ta'ala won't put the face into Jahannam, because of the tears that were rubbed, how can Allah Ta'ala put the remainder of the body in Jahannam? So that is why a person, when he makes tawbah also, a person should cry to Allah Ta'ala and make tawbah in this way. Or apne kiye par pachtawe, and what you have done, now regret. That is the shart of tawbah. That a person should have nadamat, a person should have grief, that what have I done? How could I break the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Our ulama explained that our fear for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not like the fear of a dog. Dog also has fear. You pick up a stick, dog is frightened. If you pick up a stone, the dog also gets frightened. So our fear, everywhere we are commanded that fear Allah, ittaqillah, ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our fear of Allah ta'ala is not like the fear of a dog. But what is our fear of Allah ta'ala? Mashayikh explained that our fear of Allah ta'ala is in this way, that you just think that every moment of my life, how many bounties of Allah ta'ala I'm enjoying. So many bounties I'm enjoying. So when I'm enjoying so many bounties of Allah ta'ala, how can I ever break the command of Allah ta'ala? So he says, that is our fear for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Not like the fear that a dog has for the master, or for somebody that's got a stick in his hand. Or Allah se maaf karawe, aur aainda ke liye pakka irada kare, ki ab kabhi na karugi, isse bafadle khuda wo guna maaf ho jata hai. So a person, he should make tawbah in this way, and he should have a firm determination, that I won't do this in the future, and through this, by the fazal of Allah ta'ala, a person will be forgiven. That one is a person, he has a regret, and he makes a firm promise that he won't do it in future. And whatever wrong he is doing, he stops that wrong. Then Allah Ta'ala will forgive such a person. As Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, if these sharait are found, if these conditions are found, that a person, he stops doing the wrong at that time. And then he makes a firm determination that I'm not going to do it in future, and he has a regret. And then later on he falls in it again, and with the same sharait again he makes tawbah. Then no problem, even if he does it 1,000 times, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. But on condition each time he is sincere at the time of making the tawbah, that these conditions are found. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Things that do not break the fast. What doesn't break the fast of a person? Number one, to eat or drink something forgetfully. Person, he ate or he drank something forgetfully. He forgot that he was roza, he was fasting, and he ate something. Or he drank something. Then his fast will not break. Number two, a mosquito, fly, or any other object going down the throat unintentionally. That a person, whilst he was walking, some mosquito now went into his mouth and went down the throat, or some fly. So here, the roza, the fast of a person won't break. Number three, water entering the ears, even by swimming. If water on its own, he didn't put the water in. meaning it came in on its own, then the fast of a person is still valid. For dust or dirt going down the throat, some dust went down, some dirt, that won't break your fast. Number five, swallowing one's saliva. If you swallowed it, it won't break your fast. But we said for a person to gather the saliva in the mouth and then to take it down to quench the thirst, that is makruh. Number six, taking an injection. If a person takes an injection, that won't break the fast. But if the injection is taken directly into the stomach, where the contents of that injection, it goes direct into the stomach, that is going to break the fast. Similarly, drips. A person uses drips, there's no problem. Because here, whatever is going into the body is going into the vein. It's not going directly into the stomach. So by the time it reaches the stomach, it's already sometimes converted into blood or whatever. So that is why over time it reaches the brain, it is already converted into blood. So therefore here it won't break the fast. But if it goes directly into the stomach as it is, then in that case the fast of a person will be broken. Many people ask about the insulin also, diabetics. I think I must have mentioned it, I can't remember. But insulin, that whether it breaks the fast or not, can you poke? So here the doctors say that it's going into the vein, it's not going directly into the stomach. So those that say that it's going into the vein, the doctors that say it goes into the vein, so it's not going to break your roza, because it's already converted by the time it reaches to the brain, by the time it reaches the stomach. So taking injection is valid. Number seven, applying of surma in the eyes. If you apply surma, it doesn't break the fast of a person. Previously, the ulama used to say that if you use eye drops, that also doesn't break the fast of a person. Because if you put it into the eyes, it's got no connection with the throat. Yes, the ears of a person. You put something into the ears, oil, that's going to go through the throat. From the nose, it's going to go into the throat. So the roza of a person will break. But now the doctors, some doctors have a different opinion. They say that when you put eye drops, then the taste of it can be felt in the throat. So therefore, nowadays, it's better that a person doesn't use it. Because this is according to the latest research. They say that when you put the eye drops, the taste can be felt in the throat. So it shouldn't be used. So if a person did use eye drops, now if he uses it, then in that case, as a precautionary measure, a person should make qaza of that fast that he has kept. Rubbing oil onto the body or hair. Somebody put oil on the hair, he put on the body, doesn't break your fast. Applying ether or perfume while fasting, does not invalidate the fast. Similarly, you apply ether, some perfume, your fast is in order. If a person finds the effect of the surma in one's saliva or in one's mucus, then too, the fast will be valid. That if you put the surma, you found the taste now in the mucus, in the saliva, no problem. It is not permitted to inhale smoke of loban or agarbatti while fasting. We did this much yesterday. Intentionally, you're taking the smoke in, roza is invalid. It is also not permitted to smoke cigarettes or inhale its smoke. See, cigarettes, although ulama have mentioned that the ruling, the hukam is makruh tahrimi. But amalan, the action of it, that is haram. The amal of smoking, that is haram. But because there's not, the proof is not so strong, that is why the hukam, the ruling, they can't say is haram. So the ruling, the hukam, they say is makruh tahrimi, same darjah of haram. But amalan, to do the action of smoking, that itself is haram. So a person is not permissible to smoke. But a person cannot inhale the smoke as well. Number eight, taking a bath to keep cool. It's a very hot day, a person said, I want to take a bath. So he takes a bath, no problem, your roza is valid. To vomit unintentionally, even if more than a mouthful. We did the different scenarios, that where a person, he vomits. He unintentionally, but intentionally he took it down. Or intentionally he vomited, whether he takes it down or he doesn't take it down, there the roza breaks. Here he says, unintentionally, a person vomited even more than a mouthful, but he just went out, he didn't take it in again. So here the fast of a person does not break. Number 10, brushing the teeth without toothpaste. He just took the toothbrush and he brushed his teeth plain. If he used toothpaste and the taste was in the mouth but nothing went down the throat, then it's makruh. And if it went down, then your roza is broken. So just to use a plain toothbrush, there's no problem. Using toothpaste where the taste comes in but nothing goes down is makruh. And if it went down, the paste went down, the roza of a person is invalid. So brushing the teeth without toothpaste or powder. Right, there's no powder before it is used powder. So if a person doesn't put powder, then the roza of a person is valid. He just used a toothbrush. Example, using a miswak. If you use a miswak, yeah, there's nothing. So it's perfectly fine. But I mentioned that there's two types of miswak. One is the flavored one. So the flavored one is makruh to use. You don't use the flavored one when you're fasting. Use the original, the plain one. Number 11. Tears enter the mouth while fasting. If it is one or two drops of tears, Tears enter the mouth while fasting if it is one or two drops of tears. If it's one or two drops of tears and it went into the mouth, it won't break the fast. However, if plenty of tears entered the mouth, as a result of which the saltiness could be tasted in the mouth, then the fast will be invalid. That's so much of tears now, you can feel all the saltiness now going inside. So the fast of a person is invalid. The same ruling will apply to the perspiration of the face. That little bit perspiration when in the mouth, no problem. But now so much of perspiration entered into the mouth now, that all the saltiness from the perspiration, all that can be felt now in the mouth, then the fast of a person is invalid. Number 12, bleeding nose. Even if the effect of the saliva can be tasted in the saliva, that if a person, his nose is bleeding, that won't break the fast of a person. Oh, okay, yeah, it's fine, it's no problem. Person, if there's a severe necessity, then a person can go to the dentist. If there's not severe necessity, then it's makruh to go. Now, if when a person goes to a dentist and blood emerges, and that blood is then swallowed, fast of a person is invalid. So he has to see. So normally we say we need to see the saliva, because the blood is now going to be mixed to the saliva. How much of blood and how much of saliva? If the blood happens to be more than the saliva, then the fast is invalid. And if the saliva happens to be more than the blood, then we will assume that it is saliva. Then the fast won't be invalid. And that is fine. If you don't swallow, then it's no problem. One is the ruling of Shariat. The ruling of Shariat, you have to have concrete proof. What is called, is technical terms, qat'iyu thubut and qat'iyu dalala. If something, what we call is the dalalat also, the indication towards it also is certain, is 100%. And the proof of it is also 100%. Then you can prove something as faraz, or you can prove something as haram. If on one side you got what is called qat'iyu dalala, that the indication of it is 100%, is authentic, but in proving it is dhanniyu thubut, that one level down, then the ruling in Shariat will now drop. It won't be on the status of faraz anymore. It's technical, you might not understand it, but because you asked now, I have to explain it to you. So the ruling drops now. You cannot hold it anymore as faraz. Now it will become wajib. Similarly, in haram, if on both sides you can prove that it is authentic, then only you can prove something as haram. If you can't prove on both sides that it's authentic proof, then in that case it will drop one stage down. So here also, as far as the ruling is concerned, because it's not 100% authentic that you can prove it. So that is why we say that the hukam, it won't be regarded as haram. It will be regarded as makruh et tahrimi. But it is in the same level as haram. Because there's lack in proof, in evidence, that is why it has to drop one stage down. But to do the action, in actual fact, it's supposed to be haram. That is why it's called makruh et tahrimi. That is close to haram. Understood? So if, for example, if a person, if something that is haram, or something that is permissible, he says, or something that's haram, he says, no, this is not haram. Shariat says it's haram. But now you say, no, this is halal. So here there's a fear, a person can lose his iman. Because something that's 100% authentic is proven in Shariat that is haram. And you saying it's halal. So here there's fear of losing iman. But when something is not of that level, where it's 100% authentic and it's proven, then, for example, if a person has to reject it, then also it's dangerous. But that day he will not lose his iman. So that is where the difference normally comes about. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here from Anwar al-Salah. Last we had discussed the tashahud. And we said that there are four different parts of the tashahud. We can break it up into four parts. And the first part is where you are saying all your ibadat is for Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is verbal, whether it is physical, whether it is monetary. All this is for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The second part of the tashahud is where a person, he sends salutation upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third, which is Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The third part of tashahud, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salin. You make dua for yourself, peace be upon us and all the righteous servants of Allah. And we said that the righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala, they enjoy everyone's whole world's duas. And the fourth part that we were discussing, where we have discussed quite a bit in detail, was regarding the tawheed of a person, the oneness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and where a person testifies that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a messenger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this we said that the iman must be within the heart of a person, number one. And secondly, a person must now bring it onto the tongue. But just having it on the tongue, that is not sufficient. That is to implement the laws of Shariat. If a person, he says, I'm a Muslim, and that person, but in his heart he's not a Muslim, but he passes away, So when he passed away, we will say, bury him in the Muslim graveyard. Why? Because when he was living with his mouth, he said he's a Muslim. What is in the heart, we don't know. That is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the laws of Shariat will be applicable to this person. They will apply to this person. What is in the heart, that is between him and Allah ta'ala. In the time of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam those that are the munafiqeen. But in today's time, wahi is not going to come down. So we don't know who is a hypocrite, who is genuine, who is not genuine. The moment a man says, I'm a Muslim, we will believe that he is a Muslim. And we also mentioned the various examples that how a person, his iman should be purely on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Another such example, where it's mentioned in the hadith, that many a times a difficulty comes upon a person. A person, he goes through some difficulty. The actual hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ihris ala ma yanfa'u. That, be desirous of that which will be of benefit to you. What will be of benefit? So here, what will be of benefit to you, here does not refer to things of dunya and the things of the wealth. Because the things of the wealth, this is also of benefit to a person. But what is referred to over here, that what will be of benefit to you tomorrow in the akhirah? What will be benefit to you tomorrow on the day of qiyamah? That a person should have the desire to do these amal and to do these actions. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was going for a dawah. So while going for the dawah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, come, let's we both have a race. Let's have a race over here. Ulama has mentioned, the muhaddithin have said, that there were two reasons for this, why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to have this race. He said one reason was this, to make Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha happy, that two people are having a race, children when they have a race, how happy they get, one won, one lost. So here, to make the, each other happy. So here he wanted to make the heart of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha happy, so he said, let's have a race. The second reason, muhaddithin have written, they say that this race was to indicate to the ummah that our deen is not a dry deen only. That you all the time you sit in the masjid, one corner tasbih, you're tearing the pages. No, that's not our deen. That there's a time and there's a place for everything. That there's a time for your ibadat also. There's a time for your family also. There's a time to be light-hearted also. There's a time and there's a place for everything in our deen. So these are the two reasons. So nevertheless, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala raised with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So initially, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he won the race. He beat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then after some time, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says in another narration, that later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had another race with me. And this time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she beat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was much younger. And Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, his age was now increasing. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha beat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tilka bitilka. That, oh Aisha, sit for tat. Now we've equalized. On one time you beat me, one time I beat you. So see, this was just an a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Nabi alayhi wa sallam had this race with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Obviously, but this means in a place where there was nobody. There was no men that were there that could see Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha running. Doesn't mean now in the town that a person has a race with his wife. No, somewhere in the countryside, where on the farm side somewhere, a person has a race. So one day Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was going for a dawah. So whilst Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi was going for this dawah, so he thought to himself, he was walking with his wife also, and they were going. So he thought to himself, he said, so far, that so many sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have acted upon. I have practiced upon so many sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he said, this sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, I never have the opportunity of acting on this sunnah. So now, he had no desire to act on this, but because of it being sunnah, so he told his wife, that today I want to have you a race. So he was also going for a dawat, and on this particular occasion, Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi had a race with his wife as well. So see that desire, ihris ala ma yanfa'u, but be desirous of what will be of benefit to you, that I'll get the sawab of sunnah. So therefore he raised. On one occasion, one sahabi, I think it was Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, if I'm not mistaken. So he went to visit Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. So when he went to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, if I'm not mistaken, these were the names. So he narrated the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what was the hadith? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if a person passes away, you go for the janazah salah. So he said that if you attend the janazah salah, you will get one qirat reward. One qirat sawab you will get. Qirat is a measurement that they use in the previous time. So he said that if you attend the janazah, you just go for the salah and you walk away, you will get one qirat reward. And after the salah, if you partake, you participate in the burial, then you're going to get two qirat sawab. Now, then he mentioned in another narration, he said that the qirat we're talking about is not the qirat of the world. This is the qirat of the akhirat we're talking about, which is maybe much more loftier than, or much bigger than mountain sawab also. So much of sawab a person will get just for attending the janazah salah and participating in the burial of another Muslim brother. So if it was Abdullah bin Umar, if I'm not mistaken, or he narrated the hadith, I can't remember exactly the names. But anyway, the sahabi that came now, he asked the person that narrated the hadith, he said, did you hear this from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, definitely, I heard this from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's two qirat sawab, for a man that goes for the janazah and the man that participates in the burial. So at that time he said, of course, that grief, that up to this day I have lost so many qirat of sawab. He said that I only known, I wouldn't have missed a single janazah. I would have went for every janazah salah, because there's so much of sawab. So see that desire, ihris ala ma yanfa'u, that the desire is of what will be of benefit to you. On one occasion, the sahaba, they came to Nabi alayhi salam. These people were not very wealthy. So they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam and they complained to Nabi alayhi salam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the wealthy sahaba, they go much more ahead than us. Why? They said that, Yasumuna kama nasum, that the wealthy sahaba, they fast, like how we fast. We are poor, but we fast. And the wealthy, they also can fast. But so they fast like how we fast. وَيُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّ And they read namaz like how we read namaz also. So in namaz also we equal. In fasting also we equal. But then he said, وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَلَا نَتَصَدَّقُ That they give sadaqah, Allah has blessed them with wealth. So they give a lot of sadaqah. But we are poor, we don't have wealth. So therefore we cannot give sadaqah like how the wealthy give. So they are much more ahead than us. So look at the concern that they had, that desire, that how can we also do those amal that will be of benefit to us in the akhirah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will teach you a certain action, that if you have to do this action, you will be far ahead of them. You will be far ahead of them, except that they do what you do. Except that they do what you do, then you will be equal. So they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this action? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after every salah, read the tasbih Fatimi. 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, and according to one narration, 33 times Allahu Akbar. And one says 34 times Allahu Akbar. Whichever, 34 times better, more sawab. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Read the Tazbiyah Fatimi. So these sahaba, the poor ones, they came back. They started making amal on this. They started reading Tazbiyah Fatimi. But then the wealthy sahaba, they were also of this nature, that they also wanted to increase their account in the akhirah, their bank balance in the akhirah. So they came and they asked, they found out that these poor sahaba are making amal on this, so they started making amal. So the poor sahaba, they found out, oh, the wealthy also caught up now. They also making amal. So they came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is the problem. That now they also doing what we doing. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُوتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ That is Allah ta'ala's kindness, Allah's favor. Allah gives whomsoever He wishes. Who He wants to give tawfiq, Allah ta'ala gives them tawfiq. So see, but the desire that they had to do that amal. Now many a times a person will get this desire. This desire will come within a person that now I want to, for example, I want to start reading more Quran. I read, for example, one khatam a year. But this year I want to change my life. Now I want to start reading maybe two khatams. A man is reading five khatams. He'll say, I want to read maybe 10 khatams now for the year. I can do much more than what I'm currently doing. So a person, he wants to increase all the time. Or a man, he wasn't waking up for his tahajjud namaz. So his five times namaz are up to date. But his tahajjud is not in order. So he says, now I want to change my life. I want to start reading tahajjud namaz. But now what happens when a person thinks of this, then fear comes into him. Now what fear comes, he thinks now, but now in summer I have to wake up 3 o'clock. And I can't wake up 3 o'clock, for Fajr is a problem. So now how am I going to wake up 3 o'clock to read my tahajjud namaz, for example. Or I want to make the 10 khatams now, I want to make more than what I was doing. How am I going to do this? So a person becomes worried. That will I be able to do it? Would I be able to do it or won't I be able to do it? So this fear constantly comes into every human being. It's natural. A person sometimes he wants to give sadaqah, he wants to give charity. So many a times a person fears that if I have to increase a little bit, then my money is going to get less. I'm not going to have so much. But there's no need to fear. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ That whatever you spend, whatever you give in the path of Allah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will recompense you. Allah Ta'ala will give you the full badal of that. There's no need for you to fear. It's mentioned regarding one of the kuffar, the ayat of the Quran we revealed regarding him. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى Where this particular kafir, he told another person who was worried, he was worried about the akhirat. So I think it was Walid ibn Mughira. I think he was worried about the akhirat. So when he was worried about the akhirat, so his friend asked him, what's wrong? So he says, no, I'm worried. What's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah? So he told him, why are you worried? He says, just pay me. Give me so much of money. And on the day of Qiyamah, whatever problem you have, I'll take it on my side. I'll take it on me. So he started giving him money. So after some time he gave him, and then he stopped. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. You saw the man that he turned away. وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَقْدَى. He gave a little bit of money, he paid that man. That man said, I'll take the responsibility. So he paid him a little bit. وَأَقْدَى. And then he stopped giving him money. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. That he has knowledge of the unseen that he can see. So here, ulama take out one meaning from this ayat of the Quran. That, what meaning do they take out? They say that the fear that must have come into Walid ibn Mughira at that time, that if I'm going to keep paying this man, all my money is going to come to an end. So here Allah Ta'ala says, does he have knowledge of the unseen, that he can see that his money is going to be exhausted? The wealth which come to you, that is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So there's no need for a person to fear that his money will ever come to an end. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to tell Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, أنفق يا بلال ولا تخش من ذي العرش إقلالا. That spend, O Bilal, do not fear any poverty from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So sometimes this fear comes into a person, that what must I do now? That will I be able to do it, or I won't be able to do it? So the second part of the hadith says, وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. That seek help from Allah Ta'ala. Seek assistance from Allah, and don't lose hope. That now you want to read that tahajjud namaz, so seek help. Pick up your hands now, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. That, O Allah, you grant me the tawfiq to wake up for tahajjud and read tahajjud. O Allah, I want to make so many khatam. You give me the tawfiq of making so much of khatam. A person wants to spend in the path of Allah, now make dua. That, O Allah, you give me the tawfiq of spending so much in the path of Allah, in your path, O Allah. So this way a person should seek the help and assistance of Allah. So ulama say that here two things will happen. The one thing that will happen here is either Allah Ta'ala will give the person the tawfiq. He made dua that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq of tahajjud. So when he sincerely made that dua will get accepted, he'll get the tawfiq. So if he gets the tawfiq, he will read tahajjud namaz. And the other thing that will happen, that perhaps he won't get the tawfiq. Perhaps he won't have the ability. But just on his niyat, he had a sincere niyat. So just on his sincere niyat, he will get the full sawab of reading tahajjud namaz. Just because he was sincere and he had the niyat. And for this also there's proof in Shariat. And what is the proof in Shariat? It's mentioned that a person, he has a sincere desire that he wants to die on the battlefield, that he wants to become shaheed. So even though he dies on his bed, then also it is mentioned this person, he gets the darja of the shuhada. Why? Because he had that sincere desire. And every person should have this desire. He mentioned the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that man mata walam yaghzu, that a man that died, he didn't make jihad. Walam yuhaddith bihi nafsa. And the thought of shahada didn't come in his heart, that one day it will be obligatory on me to go out in jihad and to become shaheed. Even the thought never come to his heart. Mata ala shu'batin min nifaq. He will die upon a branch of hypocrisy. So every person should make niyyah the day that the call is made, that I must give my life, then I'm prepared to go and give my life in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Anyway, that was not our topic. The third part of the hadith, this is what I wanted to mention over here, when we're talking about tawheed, the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then the hadith mentioned the third part. وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ, that you go through some difficulty in your life, you will go through some problem in your life, some hardship overcomes you. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Then don't say at that time, if I did this, then this would have happened. And if I did this, then this would have happened. Don't say that. لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Let's say what Allah Ta'ala designed, what Allah Ta'ala wished, that is what has happened. Qaddar Allah. Allah Ta'ala is the sign. Wa ma sha, what Allah Ta'ala desired, that is what Allah Ta'ala has done. Fa inna law taftahu amal ash-shaytan. Because this word law, that if I did this, then this would have happened. If I did this, this would have happened. This opens the doors to shaytan. So in iman, when a person has got yaqeen in Allah, he believes in Allah Ta'ala, which we are reading here in the tashahud, ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluh, that there is no deity but Allah. So at that time a person should have full yaqeen also and full conviction in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that whatever happens in my life is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For example, a person, he goes to a doctor, he is sick. So a person, he goes to a doctor. So now when a person, he goes to the doctor treats the person. The doctor treats the person. So let's assume it's a non-Muslim person. And he sends a patient, he takes his father, for example, to the doctor. Doctor sees the father, he says, no, you must go for an operation. So they do operation. Now when they do the operation, the father, he passes away. So what will the non-Muslim person say? The non-Muslim person will say, he'll say that the doctor, he messed up. That there was a problem. The doctor didn't do the operation properly. That is why the man lost his life. But a Muslim person, he goes to a doctor. And now let's say the doctor is not a good doctor. He did something wrong also. And now the person, after the operation, he passed away. What will a Muslim person say? He said, that was in his taqdeer. That is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala designed. So that is what a believer should do. Another example we take, for example, a person, he had some money by him. He worked, he got his salary. So when he got his salary, he said, you know what, Monday morning I'm going to go to the bank and I'm going to deposit the salary into my account because it's safer over there. I don't want to keep it by the house. So on Monday morning he wanted to go, but he got caught up in some work. He was busy. So he said, you know what, the banks are also so busy, I'll go tomorrow morning. So he said, Tuesday morning I'll go. I'll do the deposit on Tuesday morning. It so happened, Allah Ta'ala save us, just an example for us to understand the point. So that Monday afternoon or Monday evening, somebody robbed him and all that money is gone. So what he'll say now? He'll say, if only I took it Monday morning, the money would have been in the account now. So that a person shouldn't so say. But say that, no, this was meant to happen. That's why Allah Ta'ala made it such, I couldn't go Monday morning. Qul ma sha'a qaddar Allah. This is what Allah Ta'ala has designed. Wa ma sha'a fa'ala. And what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wishes, that is what happened. So there's no if in Sharia, in our deen. Whatever is meant to happen, that is going to happen. And nothing as that if I did this, then I would have been saved. For example, a person was supposed to undertake a journey. So he was supposed to leave on a Monday morning. So he said, you know what, I'm not going today. I got some work to finish at the shop. Let me finish my work. I'll leave on Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning he left, he met in an accident. So now he says to himself that if I left Monday, I would have already gone. There wouldn't have been so much of traffic also. I don't know why I delayed it till Tuesday. No, a person shouldn't talk like that. Dear, what Allah Ta'ala desired, what Allah Ta'ala wished, that was meant to happen. That is why it has happened that way. So a person shouldn't use this word, low, that if I did this, then this would have happened. And if I did this, then this would have happened. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, what a great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, that it is easier for me to take hot coal. And he says, to put this hot coal on my tongue. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, it's easier. Then he says, for me to say, that I, on something that didn't happen in my life, that I wish this happened in my life. On something that never happened in your life. You wanted something to happen. For example, you wanted to get a big business, but that business never come. So now you say, I wish that I got that business. So he says, it's easier for me to take burning coal and put the coal on my tongue than to say that I wish this happened on something that didn't happen in your life. Or on something that happened in your life. Some problem came in your life, something happened in your life. So at that time, he says, for me to say that I wish this didn't happen in my life. Some sickness overcame. So he says, I wish the sickness didn't come. Or for example, he had some family problem. So he says, I wish I didn't have this problem. So he says, it's easier for me to put the coal on my tongue than to make such a statement. Zunnun Misri rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, somebody asked him that, how are you? So Zunnun Misri rahmatullah alayhi said that, what to ask about that man, according to whose desire the whole world is functioning. The whole dunya is functioning according to his desire. So people said, "How? What are you talking? This is something that Anbiya alayhi salam never got. That the world functioning at their desire. The world never functioned at the desire of Anbiya. How are you talking in this way?" So Zunnun Misri rahmatullah then explained himself. He says that whatever is my wish and whatever is my desire, I have put my wish and my desire in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, according to the pleasure of Allah. That whatever is the decision of Allah, I am happy with the desire of Allah, with the decision of Allah ta'ala. So he says, therefore whatever happens in the world, he says, this is according to my desire, because I have handed myself over. This is what we call taslim. That a person, he totally submitted himself. Taslim. Radha bil qada. That a man is happy with the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Perhaps I mentioned it before also, that that Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Pulpuri rahmatullahi, he was asked the question, that is there a stage higher than ikhlas? And I said, ikhlas comes very late in the life of a person. So he said that, yes, there is a stage. So he told Mawlana Talmi rahmatullahi, you explain, Hazrat, that what is a stage? Is there a stage higher than ikhlas? So Mawlana Talmi rahmatullahi says, yes, a stage higher than ikhlas is the stage raza bil qada. That whatever is the decision of Allah, I am happy with the decision of Allah, I am pleased with the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One senior alim, when his father had passed away, I think, so he took it very, very badly. His father was a very senior person. So he took it very, very badly that my father had passed away. Or some other problem he had. So he wrote to one of the mashayikh. I think it was Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he told Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah, I got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem. So what must I do? So Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh wrote back to him. He said, Jiska ta'alluq Allah Ta'ala se hai, that man that got his ta'alluq, he's got his connection direct with Allah Ta'ala. Iska pareshani se kya wasta? What has he got to do with this pareshani, with these difficulties? One is naturally you will find the difficulty, but he says that what have you got to do with this difficulty? A person, he will read namaz, he will give some sadaqah, he will make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he will leave everything in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But a person, he does not become depressed now in that difficulty, in that hardship that he is going through. So, on iman also, when a person has iman on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he says that there is no deity except Allah, then this should be the condition of a person. Continuing with this, he says, Janna chahiye ke ye gawai tawheed ki hai. When a person is saying, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He says, this is giving evidence of tawheed. Ke khuda ko ek jane, that we believe Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is one. Aur iski bandagi mein kisi ko sharik na kare. And in the ibadah of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, nobody is a partner. Aur Peygamber alayhi salatu wa salam ko khuda ka banda jane. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. So this is all what we are saying in the tashahud. In the attahiyat. Aur Rasul iska pehchane. And we recognize Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aur malum kare ke aise hi mazmoon ko zuban par lane aur dil mein yaqeen karne se musalman hua hai. Now you must know that when this subject matter is brought into the heart, then in the heart, and he has yaqeen and he has conviction in the heart. So he brings it in the heart and he brings it on the tongue. This is what will make a person a Muslim. When a person in his heart, he says that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, he believes in his heart and he brings it on his tongue, then a person is considered as a Muslim. Or namaz farz hui, or isi par khatam hui. And namaz was made farz. Namaz was made farz. On what basis was namaz made farz? On the same iman. That a person became a mu'min, so now namaz became farz on him. So he says, on this your namaz also ended. That when you completed your namaz, in the attahiyat you saying, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. On the kalima of tawheed now, you are completing your namaz. So he says, or malum rakhe, ke jis mazmoon par madar, kisi kaam ka hota hai, takrar usi mazmoon ki awwal akhir aya karti hai. He says that any work when it is dependent, when the basis of it is on some subject matter, on some topic, then he said that topic is repeated in the beginning also and that topic is repeated in the end. That any work that you do, when it is dependent on a particular subject matter, on a particular topic, so that topic is the main thing. So that topic is brought in the beginning also and that topic is brought in the end also. Now here he is going to explain that your namaz is dependent on what? The basis is iman. If you don't have iman, that namaz wouldn't have been farz on you. So the basis of your namaz is that a person must have iman. So iman is the main thing. That's the subject matter. That's the main topic here. So therefore iman, in your namaz, Allah Ta'ala has brought iman in the beginning also. And Allah Ta'ala has brought the importance of iman in the end of your salah. In your tashahud also, you got iman. Ashhadu an la ilaha in the attahiyat, sorry. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So you got iman here. And in the beginning of your namaz, there also you got iman. When you think Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. You're negating everything else. In the sana, when you're reading the sana, so there you think Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarakasmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. There is no other deity except you, Allah. So in the beginning of your salah is also iman. In the end of your salah is also iman. And in your salah, in every rakat, what we are saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. That Allah, we only worship you. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We only seek assistance from you. So see that when your namaz was dependent on iman. So this topic of iman is repeated again and again in namaz. It is brought in the beginning of namaz. It is brought in every rakat in Surah Fatiha. And it is brought in the end of salah. And there are other places also, which we will read tomorrow, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.